This is for all the girls who grew up without strong geek role models to help them discover their geek dreams.
For everyone who's ever been quizzed about their video game knowledge because girls don't play games.
Geek Hearing is working to bring female identifying geeks into their prime to be the role models, dreams, and voices.
About to show these boys how we do it.
Higher, further, faster, baby.
It's not about deserve.
I'm not an owl!
A girl has no name. There is something supernatural at work here.
It's about what you believe.
Did I step on your mom?
Wingardium Leviosa.
Now on, you do as I do.
You may the odds be ever in your favor.
Are you ready for this?
Are you ready for this?
Welcome to Geek Hearing, a critical geek culture podcast where we talk the good and the bad parts of being a chick in a male-dominated environment. Hi, my name is Monica, and with me today is my lovely, amazing, glorious, with a beautiful headband equipped Amanda.
Hi, Monica. How's it going?
All semi-good in the hood, but we're alive, so that's great.
We are alive, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and just life is good when the sun is out.
Right? I actually have no idea what kind of weather we had today.
Oh, Monica. Right. We need to, like, you need to work on your boundaries and your getting away from your computer until 2 a.m. and, like,
well,
what happened to your bedtime custodian?
He is off this week, the bedtime custodian is off this week. And yeah, I mean, it's less so the boundaries, more so me being an idiot and taking on another job that takes up more time than I thought it would. So yeah, that's what's happening, basically. Big sigh, but it's for 2 months, so it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. You know that GIF with the dog? I use it in Zoom now because that's so appropriate with the fire around me. That's basically how it's going. But everything is fine. It's fine. But that's
what we... I'm going to back away slowly, okay? Like, excuse me, I'm going to leave the room.
All good. But we're here for something better today than my sad life. Also, how's your life? Let's say that. I mean, you had sunshine.
My life is good. I'm having a good day, except when Tom made fun of me because I complimented somebody's garden and he was like, "Ooh, who made you the patron saint of Ballycarry?" And I was
what?
Like, "Oh, hi."
What?
Right? Like, just because you're in a good mood doesn't mean, like, I was... It was like right in the heart, like, oh, stab me.
I like his whatever thing that is. So what are we here for today?
We're here. We're doing some Geek Girl reviews, which are always fun episodes. But we're doing it on something a bit different than what we normally would review.
Ish. I mean, I think it's, I don't know, falls in... We did have books as well, I think, and we did not always only talk about geeky feminist things, but this time we decided we're gonna watch Hannah Gadsby's Nanette again, which is a stand-up comedian, and that came out, I think, early this year.
2018?
What?
I think.
No, it was on Netflix only very recently. That's not 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah. From my recollection, it's kind of like at the beginning of this year.
Oh, well, I don't feel so bad that we're reviewing this now then.
See?
Because I 100% thought that when I looked at it, that it said that it was like 2018.
I mean, I haven't checked it, but I don't feel like it's on Netflix since 2018.
No, I feel like it. Yeah, well, it's maybe not on Netflix since 2018, but it's definitely... been out since 2018.
Yeah, maybe she's been touring for that long and then they put it on Netflix or something.
Yeah, because it's dated 2018, so yeah. Okay, but if it's only on Netflix this year, then
yeah,
you know, it's that's
basically the
brand new
brand public had access to that not too long ago. I mean, we're already in May, so
I know, gosh, this year is flying,
even though it's nothing happening.
I know, except for March. March was like the longest year ever.
Yep. I feel all the weeks are the longest year ever recently.
I know. Either way.
Yeah, so we're gonna... I've watched it like a while ago. I think pretty like almost immediately ish when it came out on Netflix. I watched it because everybody was talking about it, and I'm obviously very susceptible to peer pressure, so that's what I did. And you watched it today for the first time, and I watched it for the second time because I have no remembrance of anything in life recently. So basically that's how it is. And now we're up to date and all is great.
Didn't even know it. Yeah, so I have heard people talking about this. It was quoted and referenced on Instagram a lot, probably like when it first came out on Netflix. I was gonna say when it first came out on Instagram. And saying like, you have to watch it, you have to watch this. And it was just something that, I'll be honest, I'm not watching an awful lot of TV at the minute, especially now that I have taken up again with Warcraft. So it's
sorry.
No, it's okay. And I don't really watch a lot of TV on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't something that I had sunk the hour and 9 minutes into, but I am very, very, very glad that I did today, because for the first 35, 40 minutes of it, I was laughing my actual ass off.
Until you don't. Yeah, until you don't.
Yeah. I feel like it needs a warning. Like, this goes from like amazing comedy show to the realist feminist stand-up speech TED talk amazing saddest thing in the world.
Yeah,
like just all of those
doesn't things. Come with trigger warnings, does it?
I don't think so, but I can look.
At least they are very small when there are trigger warnings. Yeah, because
not on Netflix anyways.
I mean, all it would be like the age at the top left of the thing and then what is included.
Yeah,
but that's not really huge trigger warning, is it?
No. It's talking about childhood turmoil, and then the film is witty, intimate, and emotional. And I'm like, well, that, I mean, yes, that does cover it.
I mean, I
feel like we could cover it a little bit more.
If I am a person who gets triggered by these things and these are my pointers, then basically I have to stop watching anything and everything, because that's not giving anything away.
For sure. But all this to say, I really enjoyed this stand-up, and I felt a lot of things, and I got angry, and I got emotional, and I don't know. It was a lot. It was an emotional roller coaster of 1 hour and 9 minutes.
Mm. I recall when I did first watch it, I did have a laugh, obviously, because, she's funny at making things, or she's good at making things fun that aren't, if you think about it, aren't really fun. Mm-hmm. But what is interesting in this stand-up, I think, to compare to others, is she kind of takes you through it and then tells you what she did somehow. So she makes fun of her, basically she starts to guide you through her life and her experience of growing up in Australia in Tasmania as a queer woman, as a lesbian woman, basically. And apparently that's also very Bible belty and very, is behind the times, politically correct? Probably not.
Yeah.
But so homosexuality was still illegal until the 90s. So like 97 or something, I guess she said, and that's basically the time that she was growing up back in rural Tasmania, and which comes with, well, a fair amount of issues, I would say. And she's guiding us in her stand-up basically through her experiences and through her life, which alone from what I've said now doesn't sound quite funny at the very beginning. Like, you would imagine, like, how can this be funny? But she's doing a pretty good job with that. To, even though she's telling us pretty nasty things about her life, you're still like, ah.
It's the way she tells them, though. Yeah. Like, when, you know, she says, like, oh, back then, lesbian was any woman not laughing at a man. It's like, oh. Yeah. You don't find that funny? Must be a lesbian, you know? Or like, people really had it out for for gay men because anal sex is the devil. But lesbians, like, you know, what's wrong with lesbians? There's nothing wrong with a cuddle. Like, they just didn't understand lesbian. And honestly, like, I was laughing my actual ass off, like, at the beginning. It was very funny.
And I mean, often humor in comedians is self-deprecating, and gallows humor, as Tom says. So yeah, that's basically what you do. Like, that's why fat people make fat jokes, because it's one way of owning who they are and also to stop other people making fun of them. So she also made that, use that self-deprecating humor in her stand-up comedy.
She did. And I wrote down word for word exactly what she said in regards to self-deprecating humor. She said, "I put myself down in order to speak, and I simply will not do that anymore, not to myself or anyone who identifies with me." And I thought that was really powerful, that Hannah Gadsby was taking a stand and being like, you know what, putting yourself down to be funny is actually not funny.
It was interesting, though, she said that, and then I had the feeling she still continued to do it.
But that's what, you know, all that internalized homophobia does to you for so many years.
I mean, also, I feel she made her program, like, she went through her program and through her script and her program, whatever words. And at the same time, she always took, like, this sidestep to tell you what she did, and then she went back into it. Like, she had her play and everything and how she wanted to go about it, and then she always took that step aside, explained what she did there, explained why, even though she made it funny, it's not really funny, and how she made it funny, that is the tension that she's building up, and then the release of the tension by some kind of joke. So she really plays the audience like a fiddle, basically, while she then guides them to the climax. Is the wrong word.
She said that it's like she's very good at speaking, building the tension and then breaking it before it gets too much. And she was phenomenal. Like, couldn't stop listening to her, and not just because we were doing this for today, like, for a show. I was like, I want to now watch everything that you've ever done and learn everything about you. Now, what was it like for you, Monica, seeing this for the second time?
The second time, for me, it wasn't funny anymore. Like, we talked about this as well I feel this time it's kind of also the other way around when we talked about the fat Thor in the Marvel movies, where I'm like, haha, this is so funny, and I was laughing, and you were like, you weren't laughing at all. And that's how I felt this time when I watched it for the second time. I did laugh, obviously, at the very first time when I watched it, but now knowing what I knew and how it ended, all the jokes to me weren't funny anymore because of the experience she really had, and how she must have put all her programs previously in a way where she's kind of bending the reality so far that it still works as a comedy skit, but then the reality is so much worse. So, and I feel it's kind of a step even more hardcore than if someone makes fat jokes about themselves, because obviously that's still, of course, that's also traumatizing when people, considering however people treat you. I mean, you can be a fat person and not have a bullying experience in school and in life and whatever, but she had really, really traumatizing experiences, and she made those experiences into a comedy, which now in hindsight, I don't know how funny I think that is. I mean, I know that is obviously a coping mechanism for her, and she's really good at doing that. But it's kind of reliving her trauma every time she's on stage. And also knowing at the same time that I am not telling them everything. I mean, now she does, clearly, which I guess is also very therapeutic for her. And also why she said she can't do this anymore. Like, she can't be silent about this anymore, because she needed people like her in her life that she could identify with. And that's why she now is way more open about this. But I guess even previously, she made a lot of jokes that basically just hit the reality that was just that nobody should actually live through at all. And so during this entire time, you're thinking, could have been worse. Like, you don't even think that it could have been worse because she says, he walked away and everything was fine. Then in the end, it's really not that. So that's why when I watched it again today, I was like, I recall finding this all funny, but now I didn't.
Yeah, I can absolutely see why or how that could happen. Like, the reflection on it and be like, oh, this is not funny at all. Like, this is a very real and raw story that she's telling through a comedic lens, but it's actually, it's just painful. And it's her soul opening up to share this with the world, to share her experience, to be like, we have to be better than this. We can, like, we have the ability to be better than this. It's just 70% of the world are not.
70% is such a high number.
It is. That was Hannah's statistic. So that was probably, hopefully that statistic has changed a little bit. But back, at least when she was talking about internalized homophobia, she did say that 70% of people believe that being gay is a sin.
Yeah.
So whether they're going to take that belief to the point of violence, I mean, hopefully that's not 70% of the world, because that's a lot of the world.
I mean, like, all the rights, like women's rights and gay rights and queer rights and all of that, all of those marginalized group rights, they're very young. Like, you would think that, yeah, we're whatever. I'm 35 now, you 33? Four. Sorry.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
That's great then. So, and it seems like, oh, that's not too long ago, but 97 is like that ago. And it's not that we're all so superior and we're all so much further along in our development with all of these things that we could be, we could say, we've made it so far. Of course we made it far-ish.
Ish.
But it's also not ideal, and it's also not that old yet. So, of course, people still have those assumptions that being gay is illegal and being gay should be punished with whatever, because that was 90 freaking seven. There are people in this world who have been living 30, 40 years with this law in place, and suddenly that's not in place anymore. And it's really hard to get through, as she said as well. Like, she had that as well, even though she was gay, and the shame that came with that, with being gay, even though it should be illegal. It's just so much pressure on a person, and so hard for people to step out of that socialized stereotype and that norm that was created and now isn't one anymore. And people adjusting to changed norms is just a really long process as well, which is just also very fucking annoying.
Yeah, it is a long process. And especially when you still have people, like, I know this isn't exactly the same, but the people right now who are protesting to reopen places, and they're essentially white nationalist rallies, and like, they're saying like, oh, give all the black people corona so that they all die. And it's very similar parallels to what queer people have had and faced for years. And it's like, yes, we have made steps forward, especially in some countries. They're much more liberal and much more open-minded and just better places to live. And then there's people, though, that still have these backwards beliefs. Like, I can't even be polite about it. Now, one thing that I did find kind of a strange flex at first was when Hannah started talking about her art history degree, and like, she was talking all about like, long dead artists, and how, for example, Van Gogh, when he was alive, he sold one painting and he was not a success. And now, I don't know how long he's been dead, because I did not study art history. but let's say a couple hundred years, he is like a very successful artist. And it's like, how come only in death did he become a successful artist? I don't know the answer to that. But I also love how much she hates Pablo Picasso.
Because he's a misogynist.
Yes. And I also wrote down a quote that I actually texted Monica with, because I was like crying. I was laughing so hard at her description of Western art. I rewound this doc or this stand-up comedy like 4 times to listen to this quote, and I was laughing and I was writing it down. I was laughing, and like, honestly, I would recommend this 69-minute stand-up comedy just for this quote, so that you can hear the way that she says it. But I'm gonna say it, but really you should hear Hannah say it. She says, "The history of Western art is just the history of men painting women like their flesh vases for their dick for their dick flowers."
I love the image, though. Dick flowers.
Dick flowers. Flesh vases for dick flowers.
Yeah, that's really good. That's a really good analogy.
It is, and it's so true.
I mean, yeah, she's really not wrong. Even though you're sending the, fart history, which is not true, which is fat art history, but I always read fart history.
And even there, it's like, yeah, if this is a male artist from like the 1800s to 1700s, like, and they're drawing or painting like women naked and stuff, I'm like, yep, all right, there's another flesh vase. Like, that's all I'm going to see from now on. So thanks, Hannah. That was good.
I think she really did a great job at putting all these pieces together, because she's taking you from her life as a queer person in Australia to being different, and then suddenly she talks about Van Gogh and Picasso and all that stuff, and then you're like, how the fuck does that even go together? But in the end, she really ties it together.
She does, perfectly. Because she's making the point that misogyny has existed forever. And like, unfortunately, the people in power, like Trump and Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby, like, they aren't the exception. These men in power, quote-unquote power of some kind, they're the rule.
She reminded me what made me super upset when it happened. I recall that, but obviously there are so many things happening in the world that you forget what already initially did upset you tremendously, which is like Trump literally like publicly said that he was unconsensually having either sex with women or using his power to seduce women. And he got elected. He got fucking elected. Yeah. Even though they figured it all out. Like, they had a tape. They had everything. There is nothing hidden underneath the carpet here. And still people are like, whatever.
You know what that man needs? The presidency. You know? Like, it's a joke. Like, honestly, for the entire population, having a man like that in control of the world's, I have no idea if America is still the world's most powerful nation right now. Kind of like the world's biggest places. I'm not sure. But like, putting a man like that in charge of nuclear weapons, in charge of all those secrets with the aliens, like, how can a man like that get that power? Like, how can he be trusted with that power?
I really want to see the Hillary documentary that was out there, because apparently there is so much going on with her as well, like with people trying to not get her to a place that she should be. And apparently for Americans, the issue with the emails is super intense. So, but that's something that as an Austrian, I can't really quite fathom, because I don't know. But yeah, I really want to check out the documentary of Hillary Clinton, which was apparently leading her through through all the presidency situation and the election and stuff like that.
I'm always on board for some Hillary stuff. I'm a big stan. So growing up, like, with all of the shame put on you as a child, it's hard. Like, and Hannah Gadsby talks about the relationship that she had with her, or had and has with her mother, and how when she first came out to her, she was like, "Oh, Hannah, why'd you have to go and tell me that?" That was a terrible Australian accent, but
it reminded me very of Texas, to be honest.
Well, yeah, I kind of got that vibe from Hannah. So it was like an Australia text. Anyways, that was a terrible child box, and I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And then, like, as she's grown with her mom and she's Hannah has been more openly gay and more comfortable with speaking out about who she is. She's had conversations with her mom where her mom has actually said, like, you know, I'm sorry that I tried to hold you back from being who you are.
Mm.
And I think there's a lot of not only internalized homophobia that queer people experience, and that comes from being surrounded by homophobes and an environment that it's not okay to be gay. Mm. But I think not so like queer people many times need to unlearn how to, like, all of that internalized homophobia. It's just like being internalized. There's so much you can internalize, like racism and everything. But then it's also the language, like Fazley says, it's the words that we're growing up with that, like, you don't realize that might be something that everybody says, but that's actually really bad.
Yeah. I think it's one reason that countryside life is a bit intense for everyone who is not the norm, because people always are terrified or hate things that they have actually not really experienced, because all that racism that is going down is never happening. When you check the votes and whoever votes for who in the countries, it's not always that the big cities where everybody cumulates and where everybody is, they are hardly ever the ones that are super right-winged and super anti-everything. It's those towns and those municipalities where they haven't seen a black person, a gay person in the last 30 years. And those are the ones who shout the loudest when it comes to rights for these people, because it seems to them that they are losing something when somebody else can do something that they can do, which is just a really stupid way to live your life if you think that everybody wants to take something away from you. Because just because you share something doesn't mean that anything gets less, like, especially not human rights.
So I don't want to spoil, it feels weird to say, like, I don't want to spoil something when it's some, I'm just getting right back into this, by the way. it feels weird to say that you don't want to spoil something when it's talking, like, literally talking about somebody's life and somebody's, like, stand-up comedy. And I think that everybody should watch it. But there comes a point where she talks about when she was beaten up for being gay, like beaten and dragged and like pretty severely beaten. And it was a really, I was in floods of tears, like, when she was telling the story. And she said that she didn't report that she got the shit beaten out of her, essentially. She didn't go to the hospital when she probably should have for the damage that that person inflicted on her. And it's because she was still so severely ashamed of who she was. That she probably felt like she deserved it in some way, that, like, yeah, she is different, so she should be beaten to a pulp. Like, it broke my heart to listen to it. And when that happened to her, she was only 17 years old, which, according to Pablo Picasso, is when a woman is in the prime of their life. Just FYI.
That's why we hate Pablo Picasso.
Yeah. I think the
phenomenon of people not reporting, there are so many reasons for people not to report, and for her it was probably shame. And but I think for, because she's queer and because she's a lesbian, and for other women, it, and maybe also for other men, because it's not that men never experience any abuse and any rape in any way, but obviously women are way more victim of that. I think shame is often a factor in these situations. Like, what does your partner think if you have one? Like, what does family think? And also because the blame is always put on the victim. You shouldn't have worn this. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have gone out that long. You shouldn't have done that. All the things that we should not do are way more important in that moment than the asshole who fucking did shit like this and who should just not have done stuff like that, because you don't do this. And it was a really great, coming back to Grey's Anatomy because why the fuck not?
Why not? It wouldn't be a Geek Herring episode if we didn't.
If I didn't at least mention it once. They had one episode which was really intense where they got one in the emergency room and they started to see that she was abused and then she didn't want to. She just wanted to go home and everything. And they had this special kit that they really asked her to perform. Apparently you have to go through an entire procedure to at least have proof of the person who did that to you. Because if you go to the hospital, basically shower, then all the proof is gone. And they did that really tastefully on how... And the woman didn't want it as in the moment either, but the doctors in that moment were really all, they were all women and some had experienced abuse as well in the show. And so they were really dealing with her in a very amazing way to make her go through this procedure with every step of the way. And I think that that's not a luxury that people who experience that have in real life, that doctors really see that you have been going through stuff like this and help you with that, and let alone people go to the hospital when stuff like this happens. So it's just really, yeah, intense and sad that we have to live in a society where if things like that happen to you, you're basically even more screwed than you already are in that moment, because that was a very bad choice of words, but you get what I'm saying. Yeah, because you don't really have support as well. And as Hannah said, people apparently saw it and nobody stopped him. Like, where is the courage in us? Like, where the fuck is our courage sometimes to step up for other people when they're in serious danger and when there is an actual threat happening?
Yeah, I think as a society and individually, we have a responsibility to step up without putting ourselves in danger, I think, is pretty important as well. But to speak out against actual physical attacks like this, if you see it happening, but also to be an activist in your own right, whether that means going to a march, whether that means retweeting something, like whatever your activism looks like, it doesn't have to be you make a podcast about it, but, you know, it can. That's what we did, you know. I have to say, I loved how Hannah reflected on after she had this incident, this beating, about power and humanity. She said, "To be rendered powerless doesn't destroy your humanity. Your resilience is your humanity."
I wrote something down at the very end as well. I need to check my phone for that though now, because obviously I don't remember it anymore. She said, "There is nothing stronger than a broken woman who has rebuilt herself."
I wrote that down too.
Mm.
So powerful. And she's right.
Yeah.
Oh, she's right.
Because it's still the physical strength that people bring up in that moment seems to be so much more important than what people have to go through emotionally. But go through stuff like this once and then you will definitely, like, there is people break from this and can't figure their life out anymore. But those who do, they are like, don't mess with them, eh?
You do not mess with a woman who has fought her way back from being broken. I know my fair share of those women. I think I kind of am one myself, and you don't fuck with us. Yeah, so I think what we need to take from Hannah's stand-up, it feels so wrong to call it a stand-up comedy. Yeah. Like, it really does. But I mean, technically, that's what it is. Is that diversity, and she said this as well, and I think, like, we just really need to push this point home. Diversity is strength. When we have diverse governments, when we have diverse people speaking, when we celebrate and appreciate all the diversity that's around us, that's where we're truly strong as a society, as a nation, as a world, as humanity. Mm-hmm. Is to celebrate our differences. When you fear difference, that's when you're stuck. That's when you don't learn anything. That's when you're stagnant and not growing, and there's no moving forward.
Yeah, she did say what you said. Diversity is strength, and difference is a teacher. Because I wrote that down as well.
She's a very smart woman.
She's a very smart woman.
Very smart woman. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's time for another geek herring challenge, and that's to make connections.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I'm going with this, so I'm just going to talk. So
great.
Yep. That's always where the best challenges come from. Find a way to connect with your community in a way that you haven't before, whether that's in your physical community, in some way where you live, in whatever stage of lockdown you're listening to this podcast in, or whether that's a digital and online community. Find a way to connect and to make others aware that you care, mm-hmm. and that you celebrate them as a person.
Yep. Well done. Well said.
Thanks.
I don't have anything more to add to that because it was beautiful.
No. So in conclusion, Hannah Gadsby's Nanette, highly recommended, not for the comedy side.
I mean, I guess in the beginning also for the comedy side, but yeah.
I mean, we could also talk about flesh phases again. Penis flowers and flesh faces. I'm always down for talking about penis flowers.
Penis flowers. I like the word and the picture I have in my head. Either way.
Yeah. So that's my conclusion. Connect with your people and watch this stand-up comedy and take tissues.
Yep. Do that.
Do all of that.
And if content warning, though, I would add, is abuse and rape. So be aware of that.
Be aware.
But other than that, highly recommendable. Highly recommended. Wow, recommendable. Either way, you get what I'm saying.
I got it.
I'm making it a word.
I will own that word too.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's what we've got for you this week on Geek Herring. And let's see, this episode comes out on May 22nd.
Wow.
Wow. So happy May 22nd. And to celebrate, tell us in the comments of wherever you see this episode how you're connecting with your community. That is your call to action today.
And see you again next week
for another awesome episode of Geek Herring. And I have to say, I know what it is, and it's an interview, and it's awesome.
That is true. I almost spoiled something, but then I contained myself.
I think it's going to go be a nice follow for this one.
That is very true.
If you like this episode of Geek Herring, why not leave us an iTunes review? You can also find us on social at Geek Herring and over on geekherring.com.
This show is brought to you by Dragon Powered Studio. Find more at dragonpoweredstudio.com.